Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Valeura Holding AG Half-Year Results 2016 conference call. I'm Selena, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valeura Holding AG. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Müller speaking. With me here is Tobias Knechtle, our CFO. It's a pleasure to present a strong set of half-year figures, and I would keep it really brief in terms of an introduction. I assume you have the presentation available on our internet, and I will start on page number 3 with a brief overview of the group performance. All our operational and strategic initiatives that we presented at our Investors Day in March are well on track and resulted in strong performance in the first half year 2016. On page 3, in terms of customer, we have a highly satisfactory same-store development in our retail Germany and Ditch network. The Swiss retail sales overall in the market remain still quite weak, but have been compensated with initiatives on the margin and cost side of our network in Switzerland. Bretzelkönig, also positive, resumed the growth here on the same store basis in Switzerland. In terms of strategy, I mentioned all our strategic initiatives and operational initiatives are very well on track. The Navil synergies have already been largely realized in the first half year, and all the implementation of the other initiatives are well on the way. Tobias will talk you through the details later in the presentation. In terms of focus, important for Valeura, we ultimately successfully completed the repositioning of the group with the successful divestment of Navil Distribution in the first half year. And ultimately, there is only the building, the real estate in Geneva remaining, and the disposal will follow later in the year. In terms of the financials, I mentioned we're satisfied to present a strong set of figures with EBIT growth of 47% in the first half year 2016. And on that basis, we also confirm the 2016 guidance at the higher end of the range that we indicated earlier this year. And on that note, I would like to hand over to Tobias, who will talk you through the details of our financials.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, as well from my side. We're turning to page 5, where we'll lead you through the financial result, and then we'll conclude in the presentation eventually with progress towards our stated goals. So as said on page 5, a highlight, a written highlight of our 2016 half-year results. The first point to say, it's an easy story to tell, and that is one of the goals we set ourselves a couple of years ago, is to make the Valeura story much simpler to tell, and I think that page highlights it pretty well. On the left-hand side, you've got the progress on our retail convenience business, and on the right-hand side, food services progress. In Switzerland, we are on track, as Michael said, with our strategic initiative, not the least the coffee rollout, which is well on track with a significant number already rolled out since our Investors Day. The synergies from the reorganization and the Navil integration are already largely realized. We'll come back to that later on, but we have roughly two-thirds of the stated cost savings, which will be realized this year. As Michael has well said, we still have potential for improvement in footfall in Switzerland among all concepts of retail convenience. We have a same-store index of 97. Germany has been very satisfying in this first half year. First of all, we have stable operations and therefore confirming the turnaround of last year. That resulted in much stronger same-store growth driven by food and tobacco. We have almost 5% same-store growth. And at the same time, we've been strengthening the retail network we're having. You will see later on, we decreased the number of POS we have, but we have more own POS and much more franchise POS and therefore reduce the number of partner shops, which are lower value to us. So the conversion towards here as well, a simpler operating model is very well underway. On the food services side, on the right-hand side, first thing to note, you already see it from the picture, is that Spettacolo has been included in food service. It is a logical step. It's food, it's fresh, and therefore it's very close to Ditch and Plätzlkönig, so it makes sense to have it under one leadership. We have restated the 2015 figures for that shift, so the figures you have in front of you when you compare food service are really comparable. Ditch Retail has a very good same-store growth of 2%. We expanded the network with net 3 outlets, which is masking the very intense activities we had in the network. We opened 16 POS since H1 of last year and closed 13 as well, which resulted then in this net 3. Ditch B2B. You remember last year, the same time we said we suffered from a relatively poor margin due to the B2B operation. We corrected that. We have a significant improvement of all of our food service margins on the GP side, thanks to the portfolio optimization we made. So we're reaping here as well the fruits from our efforts. And we're as well progressing well with the production line extension that we're planning towards the end of the year and beginning of 2017. Plätzlkönig Switzerland, after a difficult 2015 and a difficult start in the year, as the first anniversary of the Swiss National Bank only came the full effect after roughly 2 months, and therefore we had a strong comparison base. We still managed to resume growth here with a 1% same-store growth, and year-on-year added a net 8 outlets in Switzerland, 9 openings, 1 closing. Plätzlkönig International, as well, an important point, we are investing here. It's a significant investment, which also had a impact on our margin, which, as you, I'm sure you already seen, had a reduction of 0.4 percentage point. Without that investment in future growth, we actually would have had a margin improvement of around the same size. So instead of a minus 0.4, a plus 0.4 margin improvement. So the concept and the adjustment are done. We especially have a very good performance of the new store we have in Graz, which is our first really high-frequency location with Plätzlkönig International and in Austria. That's it for the overall picture. So I think, as on page 3, tick on the boxes. How does that then play out in terms of figures? And moving to page 6, with our main KPI, ROCE. I'm very pleased to report that we, not slowly but steadily, but fast and steady, moving towards our midterm target of 8%, coming from 6.1% only 6 months ago, and much lower than that 1 year ago. We moved up by 1.1 percentage point to 7.2%, and with that, largely above our WACC, and therefore creating value for our shareholders. That is driven by the significantly improved profitability, of course, and stable capital employed. Maybe quickly repeating as well the way we calculate it in order not to have confusion here. We're taking the average capital employed over the last 13 months and compare that to the EBIT of the last 12 months. Cash is only reflected on the group level, so the figures which I'll present right now on the divisions are without cash. So coming to these, retail has a 2.4 percentage point increase to 12.6% ROCE. That is impressive from both divisions. We have Switzerland, which has been leapfrogging to almost 14%. It stands at 13.9% ROCE. And Germany has a 3 percentage point increase, and therefore as well contributing to that significant increase we have. Food service maintained its level, slight increase by 0.1 percentage point to 6.7%. Now let's run through the P&L, starting with the revenues. On page 7, we have a 4.8 percentage increase to over 1 billion net revenues in the first half. In local currency, the increase is still 3.7%. In Switzerland, we of course have the Naville full year effect, which is higher than and overcompensates the market challenges we have with the same store decline of 3%, as mentioned before, and the network optimization. So we continued to optimize our network and closed year-on-year 25 outlets. In Germany, as said again here, growth coming from the same-store growth with own brands, one of our top initiatives, which is showing progress, but then as well food with double-digit same-store growth and even higher absolute growth, and cigarettes as well, which are growing very strongly. We are operating more own POS in the wake of the repositioning our network, and as already mentioned in the introduction, we optimize our network with a net 48 decline, but as said, with more own POS and more franchise. Ditch with a good growth in retail and wholesale, and that's on the back of a very strong H1 2015, with Ditch, as said, growing same store 2% and all the other formats with a 1% increase year on year. Moving to gross profit, and you will remember that that's the basis on which we do our guidance is a very relevant page here. We have a 7.3% increase year on year to 429 million. In local currency, the increase is 6%. And importantly, we have this percentage of 7.3% above the 4.8% increase of net revenue, therefore improving our gross margin. Gross profit margin as expected. That increase was significant compared to last year. We're almost 1 percentage point increase, 0.9%, leading to 41.4% gross margin on the group level. Switzerland has 0.6% increase to 35.8% on the back of promotions, optimized sourcing, and the general efforts with our store network optimization. Then Germany has a stable gross margin, but absolutely strong increase on the back of the same store growth and the more higher share of own POS. Food service, very strong increase by 1.3% percentage point to 77.8 on the back of the better wholesale mix, as mentioned already in the introduction. Moving down the P&L and down the pages to page 9 on the cost side, was important to have GP above net revenues in terms of growth. On the costs, it's obviously the opposite. And here the increase is 5.1% compared to 7.3% increase in GP. We have a cost base of 399 million and therefore logically improved our EBIT margin as well. On the group side, the costs are raised by the Naville full year effect, the investment in our food service network, so in general, the stores we operate, but as well the international expansion, the higher number of operated stores we have in Germany, and last, and also least in that case, but still significant to mention here, is the cost we're incurring with the sale of our Naville distribution business in the first half of this year. Switzerland, I think, very important to mention and spend a couple of seconds on the cost base here. The synergies through the Naville integration and as well the reorganization we announced in last September are very well on track. We realized the savings and we said we're roughly two-thirds through it already now, so with a full year effect of roughly two-thirds. On top, we have network optimization also contributing to the decline in of the cost base. And on the other side, of course, we have here as well the full year effect of Naville, which compensates that. Germany, we have a 1 percentage point increase or improvement in the cost ratio and higher cost absolutely based on the higher number of POS we operate ourselves. In food service, finally, the costs are increased by the general network expansion, the higher production volume we're having, and with negative impact on the margin, the Brezel-König international expansion, where we're still in the build-up phase. So putting all that together, we're moving to the EBIT side. We have 30 million EBIT in the first half. Compared to 21 million last year, that's a 47% increase in local currency, 44.4% increase. The group, I think, it's overall a very strong result, and that is also reflected in the margin where we achieved 2.9%, so really only 0.1% shy of the 3% margin, which is a first in-between goal towards our 4% EBIT margin we announced earlier this year. In Switzerland, we have a 0.7 percentage point increase to almost 14 million, 13.6 million absolutely, on the back of the cost improvements we're having and the synergies, but then as well, of course, cheaply flowing through with higher promotions and the positive effect from Naville. Germany, a very significant increase of 1.6 percentage point and a, on the paper, impressive 150% increase in EBIT, of course, on the back of a weak set of figures in the first half of 2015. We have here 7 million EBIT improvement in 7 million EBIT absolutely in the first half of 2016. Food service resuming growth with almost half a million increase. The margin dilution of 0.4 percentage point is due to the international expansion, as already mentioned. Without that, we actually would have a increase of 0.4%. Moving to page 11, below EBIT figures, as well here in this story, financing activities almost on last year's level, however, negatively impacted by our refinancing, the closing of the interest rate swap, which cost us 3.5 million, costs which, you know, temporarily have been moved forward, but which would have occurred simply later in time. We're still on the same level as last year. We had a negative FX impact based on the Swiss National Bank, so overall an improvement. And going forward, if there's no negative surprises, you can expect further improvements in this figure. Income taxes on with 15% on a still low level, higher than last year, however, based on the better results we have in Germany, where you have a certain minimum tax to pay and therefore increasing our income taxes paid. Net profit from continuing operation as a result of all that doubling to 17.6 million. Net result from discontinued operation where you would expect it at roughly zero compared to the loss on the back of the impairment last year. And therefore, overall on a group level, we're moving from the net loss last year to 17.8 million for the first 6 months of this year. So much for the P&L. Moving now to the balance sheet, we have a year-on-year improvement in the balance sheet matrix. However, we have the usual half-year seasonal effect with a slight deterioration of leverage ratio and equity cover compared to the full year based on the dividend payment, which occurs in the first half of this year or in the first half of every year, hopefully. Compared to the situation 1 year ago, we have, and as well the full year, we have a reduced balance sheet. Total assets stands at 1,162 million on due to the cash disbursement on the dividend and as well lower investment in the tangible assets. We have investment has below depreciation, which reduced then our asset base logically. The ratios assets then on the leverage ratio are 2.24 compared to 2.59 1 year ago, and the equity cover is as well at 41% compared to the 37.2 we had 1 year ago. So overall, making good progress with the sanity of our balance sheet, and the cash inflows from Naville distribution logically is not yet in. I'll come to back to that in 1 minute. Last page on the pure set of figures is on page 13, the cash flow, in line with the expectation, 2.3 million higher than last year at 17.6 million. Very important is that the improvement in the EBIT comes from EBITDA fully. You've got a 10 million increase in the EBITDA. Net working capital is contributing negatively in this half year on the back of strong improvement we had in H1 2015, not least on the inventories in Switzerland. That level could be maintained, but has not contributed further positively. And the second one is, as already announced in the full year, we benefited from seasonal phasing effects end of last year, and you see the reflection of that then as well in the first half of this year. Contributing positively again is capital expenditure. As already said, compared to 24 million last year, we stand at 16 million cash out. That is not starving out the business. We're still pursuing, as you have seen on the various POS expansion I mentioned before, a very strong activity, but we've been very much selective on where we invest, and we've brought down the investments on the single investments we do, and therefore improving that figure. CapEx will be back and loaded on the back of the line expansion we'll do, and the, as usual as well, POS expansion normally comes in the second half of the year. So, as always, rather back and loaded CapEx figure. All of that leads to free cash flow, as said, of 17.6 million in the first 6 months of this year. I don't want to spend too much time on page 14 with Naville distribution, the sale to 7 days. We expect that roughly 100 million would be done with a Naville distribution this year, for the modeling, that is what will be taken out. EBIT stood at 2.9 million in the first half of 2016. We're still expecting the cash proceeds of 23 million, and closing is expected end of August, or depending on a further question the antitrust authorities might have, latest end of September. So much for the set of figures of H1. I would now like to move to the last chapter on guidance and operating progress. Page 16 is very easy. We're confirming the 2016 expectation of 65 to 70 million, but expect to be on the higher end of that guidance range. The next two pages are important to us. We said we want to walk the talk. We have shown, in order to raise the credibility of our midterm guidance, a set of projects we have started late last year, beginning of this year, and we want to present the progress on these initiatives, selected initiatives. We have food, network, services, and organization as topics, and starting with the food initiatives, we wanted to roll out 800 coffee modules in Switzerland and Germany. By now, so only a couple of months after the Investors Day, we rolled out 70 Starbucks modules and 120 Spettacolo modules in Switzerland. The rollout in Germany is about to start. So on track here. On the DIX expansion of the production line, as already said, all work done. We expect this to be done by the end of this year, beginning of 2017, and therefore really contributing towards end of Q1, beginning Q2 of next year. The OK Energy Drink initiatives in Germany, we sold already 3 million cans year to date. Even though we are not yet present in all our network and it's not yet with our franchises, so very positive update in the POS where the drinks are already available. And that is on the back of the successful sponsorship we have with St. Pauli and also various promotional activities with it. On the network, Brezelkönig International, we've got now 6 POS running. We've got the first high-frequency outlet in Graz, and we're still in that testing phase, adjusting phase, learning how to operate outside of our home market, so with the supply chain. I remind you that we have a frozen supply chain, which is pretty complicated, but that is all working fine. We also made progress in the franchise model, and we expect rollout here to really start in 2017. Germany, we want to add net 50 stores by 2018. That might seem odd. We are at minus 23, but that is fully in line with our strategy. We reduced the number of partner outlets, which are adding less value to our P&L, and eliminated some, moved overall 71 since the beginning of this year, either to own POS or to franchise, and that contributed to the results we have in retail Germany. Ditch Brezelkönig, goal to have 50 new outlets by 2018. We have 10 POS in H1. Here we're talking about gross figures, both in the target and in the progress update. We have had 5 closings. In the full year 16, we expect 20 openings, so we are on track with our plans here. Naville, the brand where I spent my first pocket money are slowly disappearing. We started with the rebranding of Naville to Car Kiosk, Avec, or Spettacolo, depending on the format. We expect to be completed in 2017. Moving to services on the next page, loyalty app in all formats by the end of 2018. The Cafe Spettacolo app is established. If you haven't downloaded it, please do so. It's really convenient. I'm a big fan of it. We have started working on concepts both for our kiosk format and as well for Brezel König, where we're testing takeaway formats and as well simple pre-ordering apps. We'll see exactly which one of these will be strongly pushed in the second half of this year. On Bob side, we have achieved already a positive lifetime value in the second quarter of 2016. Very important concept in that field of consumer lending, lifetime value, that compares the cash inflow you expect from the credit you've been issuing in a certain period, in that case Q2, over the length of the credit length you've given, adjusted for expected attrition, expected defaults as well, and you compare that income to the cost that the business generated in the same period, so in that case Q2. That means as well that if we simply stay on that level, that business will not only be lifetime positive, but is moving towards break-even and contributing positively to the results. On the organization side, already mentioned a couple of times, our efficiency program is on track, two-thirds realized on a full-year basis, and Naviel and the reorganization really working perfectly. So we're very happy with the spirit and cost reduction in Switzerland. As well on the sourcing, promotion, category management side, we made especially big progress in Switzerland that is reflected by the 0.7 percentage point increase we're having in retail overall. Finally, how does that all convert in the figures towards our midterm progress? I'm on page 19, the last page. Gross profit, we wanted to have 1-3 percentage growth per year. Over the next year, we achieved 6% in this first half. If I exclude Naviel, we still have 2.9% and therefore are at the higher end of that. And that, despite Retail Switzerland, where we wanted to be more or less flat, -1 to +1%. If I exclude Naviel, we stood slightly below that at -1.4%. But Naviel contributed positively, so that as well Switzerland has 2.6% GP improvement. Germany, we want to have 2.4 progress on average over the coming years. We had a very strong start on this midterm progress or target with an 8.5% increase based on the very solid top-line growth. Food service as well, just above the higher end of our guidance, which was as well very positive in our internal view on the back of the same store growth and the wholesale portfolio optimization. That, of course, converts then as well in the gross profit margin increase. We stand at 41.4% compared to the 42% margin we want to have as target earliest 2018. If I take out Naviel distribution, as will be the case full year next year, we stand at 40.8%. That is still a very strong increase compared to the past, but also shows we won't have the 42% already by the end of this year, but the 42% are really realistic on that basis. Same thing, of course, then applies on the EBIT side, the 4% EBIT margin with just one notch shy of the 3% and in-between growth with an increase from 2.7% in full year and even 2.1% in the first half of last year. Here as well, if I exclude Naviel, we would stand at 2.7%, still with a very positive increase year on year. So all in all, as I said in the introduction, a very easy story to tell, a good progress on all dimensions. And with that, I would like to hand over to you, dear audience, for the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
The first question comes from Mr. Felix Remmers from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Three, if I may. First, on the cost-saving measures, you mentioned that two-thirds were already realized of the 15 to 20 million. Can you be a bit more specific that I can understand the run rate which you already achieved? I mean, you already removed parts of the cost. Is that then, if I would assume two-thirds, it would be roughly 10 million. Is that already achieved for the full year of 2016, or would you then run with the cost savings into the 2017 in terms of the spillover effect of the cost savings? Then second question, just to be 100% sure here, your guidance of 56 to 70 million, that includes Nabil distribution, the EBIT contribution for until March the 1st. Is that correct? And the third question was regarding refinancing. I mean, looking at your financial expenses, you still have some rather expensive bonds outstanding coming due 2018. Can you already share some light what you plan to do in terms of your refinancing strategy?
Thank you very much, Felix, for the questions. I'll quickly answer them in the sequence that you asked them. So the cost savings run rate, indeed, two-thirds realized on a run rate basis this year, which is roughly equal to the actual effect. I mean, most of the cost savings were implemented by the end of last year, which could be done. There's a relative small amount which was done then at the end of Q1. And therefore, the run rate effect of the two-thirds and the actual impact on our P&L this year is not that far away from one from the other. The last third will be done by the end of this year and will have almost a full effect in 2017. That is mainly back office integration, so IT, and on the back of that, finance synergies as well. There's a last part, which, as indicated at the time we issued that guidance, will take a bit longer. We have a series of contracts which are running more than 2016, and where we'll need to see 2018 to see the full result. But two-thirds fully done this year, a good part of the last third as well, fully in the books for 2017 as realized either late this year or very early next year, and the last bit then 2018. On the guidance, the 65 to 70, Nabil distribution is indeed included until the closing, actually. And it's, we have a locked box, but the result flows into until the closing. So until probably, and that is what is shown here, until the end of August, which was as well the expectation we had when we made the guidance in March. Finally, on the refinancing, you're absolutely right. We're not that bad. We did all what we already could. So we have, I think, a very sound and good refinancing in place. You haven't mentioned actually the really expensive part, and that's the hybrid. I reconfirm here that our prime goal is to replace the hybrid by, first of all, cash, so simply paying it back, or then by lower debt instruments. The bond as well, of course, will come due as well, and we plan to refinance this one with an adequate instrument, you know, that will start closer to that period. But overall, definitely still further improvement, but year on year, if you dive further into the set of figures, you already see an improvement of the financing. So we're on a very good track here, especially if you remove the one-off costs with the settlement of our interest rate swap.
If I may add to your first question regarding cost measures, I think it's important to understand, I mean, we guided pretty precisely these 15 to 20 million, and I can only build on Tobias's comment by saying that you have to bear in mind that obviously beyond that we have additional measures already in the making. We are continuously working on the operational efficiency, and this will yield positive results for the years to come. As Tobias said, some of these measures are related to some contracts, other elements that are rather longer term, but ultimately you will see further operational efficiency improvements that will continue to contribute quite substantially.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very clear.
The next question is from Mr. Christian Weitz from Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. A few questions from my side. If I look at the reallocation of Spettacolo, I come to the conclusion that the margin is not very high. Let's put it like that. Can you give us a hint how much the sales of the entity is and what the margin is? And if I look at the underlying growth, 0.4% of the Digital Bettelkönig division, which has now become the food service division, the 0.4% excluding the allocation of Spettacolo, how much would have been that growth? And finally, you said that cigarettes business experienced good progress, and could you please elaborate a little bit on that? What's going on there?
Thank you, Christian. I'll start with the first one. You're right on Café Spettacolo. So you know, it's as we made the restatement, you relatively easy can calculate the year-on-year revenue. It's something above 30 million that we shifted here. We said as well in the full year that we are repositioning Café Spettacolo. We had last year and in the first half of this year some of the costs with that repositioning. Overall, that brand is exactly where you have the normal coffee house brand. So we, excluding the smaller costs we had end of last year and this year, we have a format which will as well contribute positively to the development. And that's why, you know, we really decided to launch that again, to brand the coffee models in the kiosk and in Germany. So we're a strong believer in the support that Café Spettacolo will add to the food service division. But what is very clear is that a coffee concept has lower margins than the Ditch or the Bretzelkönig format overall, and the Café Spettacolo is no exception to that. On the 0.4...
Can you give us an indication there when you say somewhat lower?
We haven't communicated, but it's clearly it's single digit, very clearly.
High single digit, I assume.
We'll get it to high single digit.
Okay.
On the growth, I'm not exactly sure. What I said is the EBIT margin shows a decline of 0.4%, excluding Bretzelkönig International. So the investment we've done there, we have actually 0.4 percentage point growth, and therefore confirming the positive trend we have through the same store improvement and the mix improvement on the wholesale. So I'm not sure if I wasn't clear on that point before.
Okay.
Does that explain, answer your question?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
Good.
And maybe you can repeat your third question. I'm not sure whether I get it precise.
Michael, you stated, I think on one of the first slides, that the cigarettes business was performing very well, and usually our clients as well as sales are always very keen on that still important business, and therefore I'd like to have just a little bit more beef on the bone. What's going on in this regards business? You said that it performed well. Is that from an absolute number of sticks point of view, or is it that you get higher promotions there from the tobacco industry? What's going on there?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I assume you refer to slide number 7, where we made the comment for our German business, where the tobacco business actually contributed quite strongly to the same store growth that we realized there, the very strong same store growth actually in Germany. Indeed, I mean, it's in Germany a situation where we benefit from a market environment where shelf allocation to tobacco is rather reduced in competing formats. We benefit from gaining shares from these formats, and ultimately we also invest in our tobacco shelf in a sense, not only on the promotional side, but also that we increase the offering, product offering to our customers in Germany. And so this resulted in quite a strong performance in tobacco and quite strong share gain overall in the market in Germany. Maybe a couple of comments overall related to your question in terms of promotions. We are working very successfully with the tobacco industry. We are very pleased with the results that we realized on the promotional activities. We invested quite significantly both in Switzerland and in Germany in the shelf, in a sense, to offer new solution to the tobacco industry, which then ultimately resulted also in improved promotional income in that category, which ultimately supports then the margin.
Okay, thank you.
We have a question from Mr. Marco Strittmatter from ZKB. Please go ahead.
Thank you, yes. Hello. Just a quick question about the same store growth rate. I mean, yeah, we've seen very strong rate in Germany. Mm-hmm. So would you expect this to stay about the same for the rest of the year and maybe also the near future? Or is this a one-off which had some impact by strikes last year? I'm not sure if the strikes were in the first or in the second half last year. And then maybe on the other formats in the food service, the same store index is plus 0.9%, which I think is not that strong. I mean, yes, the growth is due to expansion, but what would you expect there for the near future? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for that question. On the same store, indeed, it wasn't the first half of last year, the strikes, but the one that was really affected was more food service than retail. So the retail side is truly very positive, and what we've seen as well running into the second half of this year is relatively similar level. Going forward, we're not making same-store forecasts, but simply planning on such high level year on year on year would be optimistic.
Maybe overall, it's important to understand that we significantly invested in a couple of product categories. I mentioned tobacco earlier in Germany, but also in the food segment. And we saw very strong performance of these food product categories. Tobias elaborated on the success of OK, successful introduction of OK. So all these elements contributed quite strongly. And as Tobias said correctly, I mean, it's we're not guiding same-store growth on a half-year basis, but let's put it that way. We're really comfortable with where the growth came from so far. It's the result of multiple initiatives. These initiatives will only expand over the coming months, And I'm rather optimistic that also in the specific product categories where we have a unique offering, like on the tobacco side, but also on the print side, that we are extremely well positioned in the market and we ultimately benefit from the competitive environment where some of our competitors reduce shelf allocation to these product categories, which ultimately increases the footfalls in our stores. So we are rather optimistic that the strong performance in Germany will continue, and ultimately it is the result of quite a significant repositioning, restructuring effort that you know over the last 2 years.
On the food service side, you should not overemphasize the same-store growth. That is not the big lever for growth going forward in general. These are very optimized formats with a limited number of products, and we also intend to leave it with so focused. We had very high frequencies, and therefore also frequency increase is not that easy. So the growth on the food service comes from expansion. That's why that's the initiative we've laid out here. So we're working on same-store growth, but as a big lever going forward, you should really rather focus on store expansion.
Okay, great. Thank you. And maybe the CapEx is still planned to be in the same level, about 58 million. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think we said between 50 and 60, roughly, in average over the years, and that's still what we expect.
Okay, thank you.
And that said, maybe here, maybe contrary to a normal year, maybe last year is the line extension in Germany. These are, of course, relatively high tickets if you invest in new lines. Uh-huh.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Christian Weitz. Please go ahead.
Yes, I am. Sorry, it's me again. if I look at your page number, I think 19, one of the last slides, you state that the progress or the growth, excluding Naville in Switzerland and Austria, was minus 1.4%. You usually would assume that it would be between minus one and plus one. Okay, this is 0.4 percentages. It's not a big fail or a big problem in that sense. But maybe can you elaborate a little bit? What went wrong? Why is it below this guideline? Number one and number two. Could you give us a CapEx order of magnitude for the next few years? I understand that the line extension of Dietz in Germany is also devouring parts of the CapEx in 2016. And last question is with regards to your credit business with your Valora OK Credit. It's part of the Bob Finance, and I understand that it's a kind of a sales pre-financing, and I understand that this business is on your balance sheet. Number one, is that correct? And number two, the average run rate of these credits, I assume, are 1 to 3 months. What's your experience with regards to that financing model?
So maybe I take the first question, Christian, regarding the retail gross margin. You referred to page number 19. We shed it here some light, in terms of the overall performance, excluding Naville. Obviously, Naville is part of Switzerland, so this was only for transparency purposes. Ultimately, you see a strong development of 2.6%, including the Naville effect. Excluding Naville minus 1.4, this has to be read also in the light of what I said at the very beginning of our call today, that ultimately the Swiss retail environment, sales environment, remained quite weak in the first half year. We have been affected with a negative same-store growth, more or less across all the categories. So this obviously results also in a negative gross margin development. But ultimately, you see in the numbers that we improved the gross margin still in Switzerland. So with multiple measures in terms of promotions, but also product mix, and therefore, despite that the number is slightly below what we guided, without the Naville effect, we are rather optimistic. I'm super hesitant also internally to mention the weather as such, as you probably hear on investor calls with other retailers, but in the light of your question, I do that now. I mean, just to remind you that the first half year in Switzerland, the weather was exceptionally bad, I must say, and therefore bad meaning mostly cold, and therefore also some of our ice cream and beverage businesses were below what we projected.
Especially compared to last year, which was extremely hot, so you really had the opposite effect here.
Especially compared to last year, where you had the opposite situation, where we had a very strong H1. In the light that it's now much warmer over here, also in our meeting room here, I must say I'm very optimistic that you will see here a positive development, which ultimately in our food category, and therefore obviously the category that contributes the strongest in the retail and the convenience space to the overall margin.
Okay, understood.
Good. Then I'll take the second on CapEx. Restating, so this year we expect 50 to 60 million. The line expansion is really split between this year and next year. Maintenance CapEx remains roughly on the levels we had in the past, slightly higher as guided. So, you know, on the levels we guided at the investor presentation. As regards to 17, same applies to the maintenance. What we're assessing right now is the expansion possibilities on the back of the better performing German operation. We're seeing lots of opportunities, and we're assessing them, and that will ultimately determine the level of CapEx for 17. What is important is the pure maintenance CapEx in order to keep the current level running is stable and low, and really much lower than it was in the past. And whatever we do above that really contributes to the future growth.
Okay.
Maybe on your last question, I mean, in terms of the OK Cash product that we introduced earlier this year, I mean, first of all, your question, is it on our own balance sheet? Yes, that's correct. These credits are on our own balance sheet. They are not significant in terms of exposure. Right now, we haven't given any numbers or broke out from Bob Finance any numbers. You have seen that overall Bob Finance actually achieved a positive lifetime value already in Q2 this year, which is, I think, a quite positive indication for further development. The OK Credit product is, as you mentioned as well, a shorter credit product that we offer to our clients, not only shorter, but significantly smaller in terms of the ultimate amount, and I can go only that far saying so far we do not have a significant exposure on our balance sheet coming from that business, and the main efforts in terms of communication, marketing, product development have also been with our Bob Money product, so the traditional consumer financing product that we launched last year.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Maybe last question, very short. How is the acceptance of Apple Pay?
I like the product very much. I cannot share any numbers right now with you, but overall, I think I always said that payment products will rather contribute positively to the experience in the convenience channel because they ultimately improve the speed of the transaction. Speed of transaction, very important to a lot of clients. We don't want to have our clients wait and queue at the cash register. And what I like about the Apple product is that it's a very convenient, very quick way of paying at our POS, but I cannot share any detailed numbers related to number of transactions at our stores with you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Müller and Mr. Knechtle.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending this half year 2016 earnings call. I wish you a nice afternoon and look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.